Job 19, verses 1 to 29. Job replies to Bildad again. And what a reply it is. Look how Job opens. How long will you torment me and crush me with words? 10 times now you have reproached me. Shamelessly you attack me. If it's true that I've gone astray, my error remains my concern alone. If indeed you would exalt yourselves above me, and use my humiliation against me, then know that God has wronged me, and drawn his net around me, and so on. You can feel the anguish. You can feel the pain in Job's words. These are comforters, so-called. They've come to comfort him, but Job rightly calls them tormentors. You crush me with your words. You attack me. You attack me shamelessly. You reproach me. Now, my sin. Okay, now if I have sinned, why are you gloating over it? Of course, Job has not sinned to bring this trouble upon himself. He's not sinless, but he has not sinned in particular to bring this trouble. We know what the cause is. It is God working his purpose out in the life of Job, in a battle with Satan, showing Satan, triumphing over him in Job, showing him that God's work can stand the greatest trial that Satan can inflict upon a man. And Job speaks like that. He doesn't know, of course, he's speaking in ignorance, but he's getting somewhere near the truth. He speaks ill-advisedly with his lips, of course. God hasn't wronged him. It's not that God is unfair to him. But there's much truth in what he says here. But the first point I want to make is how bitter these comforters are. And I've said it many times. God deliver me from such so-called comforters when I need comfort. And God deliver me from being such a comforter. And I'm sure, brother and sister, you feel the same in your own experience. But Job does have a real sense of God here. The rest of the chapter, for many verses now, goes on, and he's very much taken up with God. God has blocked my way. God has shrouded my path. God has stripped me. God has done this. And there's much truth in what Job is saying. I think he goes too far. But Job is speaking the truth. And all the circumstances that God has poured in upon him have brought him much trouble, alienated me from my brothers. My brothers don't want to know me anymore, verse 13. My acquaintances, they turn away from me. They turn their backs upon me. They're completely estranged from me. His family don't want to know him, verse 14. His friends have forgotten him. People don't want to know him, his guests, his servants, even his wife. Job is offensive to them, even with his breath. I summon my servant, but he does not answer. I beg him. Job, begging his servant, with my own mouth. My breath is offensive to my wife. I am loathsome to my own brothers. I'm isolated. The little boys laugh at me. They joke at me. They call me names. They ridicule me. All my intimate friends detest me. Those I love have turned against me. Verse 20, I am nothing but skin and bones. I'm still alive, but that's about as much as you can say for it. I've escaped only by the skin of my teeth. And you can hear his anguish, crying out to Bildad and to the others. Have pity on me, my friends, have pity, for the hand of God has struck me. Why do you pursue me? Why are you adding trouble? Why do you pursue me as God does? Will you never get enough of my flesh? How much more do you want from me? Job is saying much truth here. I'll say it again. I think he goes too far. I'm sure he does. But nevertheless, he is right to cry out against these comforters because they are not comforting him. And God is working these things in his life. But Job cannot see the great purpose. But he will. But God has a purpose here. And Job is crying out under it. And he longs, verse 23 and 24, that His anxieties, his fears, his thoughts, his words were recorded. Oh, that my words were recorded, that they were written on a scroll, that they were inscribed with an iron tool on lead and engraved in rock forever. He longs for men to know. Well, we do know, Job. They have been inscribed. They are published. We are reading them. And your words, uttered so many hundreds of years ago, thousands of years ago, are being heard even today, and even in this January day in 2017, I'm speaking on them. And then comes one of the most glorious passages in the entire Bible, let alone the book of Job. And when you consider how early this book is, way before the Old Covenant even, long, long before the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, brought in by the Lord Jesus, fully revealed, long before John 11, long before John 14, long before the resurrection of Christ. Listen to Job. I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end he will stand upon the earth. The margin, the footnote, upon my grave. I'm sure this is talking about the second coming and the resurrection. And after my skin has been destroyed, and I think it should go on to say something about, though worms destroy this body, though the organisms in the earth eat me and my dust is consumed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see him. With my own eyes, I and not another. How my heart yearns within me. Here is Job longing for the resurrection. Look what he says. He knows he has to die. Unbeliever, do you know that? Well, of course you know it, but you're shunning it. You don't want to know it. You don't want to think about it. But Job is thinking about it. You see, Marx told us, didn't he, that all this sort of thing is to hide us from reality. Rubbish. You see, Job is facing reality. I'm going to die, he says. And worms are going to destroy my body. I'm going in the ground. I'm going to meld into dust. I'm going to be nothing. But yet, in my flesh, I'm going to be resurrected. I'm going to be raised. I know that my Redeemer lives. He's alive now. And in the end, he will stand. He will come again. And he will raise me from the ground. And I will see God. I will see him in my flesh. My body will be raised. And it won't be surrogate. It won't be somebody else seeing him for me. I shall be seeing him myself. What a wonderful testimony. How marvelous is this statement. What a wonderful statement so early in the scriptures to hear of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the resurrection of all the dead. Yes, unbeliever, you will be raised. Job speaks of resurrection to see Christ, his Redeemer. He's speaking down the ages by faith, tremendously, far more than he ever knew. But you will be raised and you will see Christ too, not as your Savior, though, and Redeemer, but as your Judge. And whereas the righteous in Christ will go into everlasting life, righteous because they are in Christ, trusting Christ, they will go into everlasting life, you will go into everlasting torment. This is an appalling thought. Job is speaking to you here. Job, way back in history, is telling you now, prepare for death, prepare for the resurrection, prepare for eternity. And the only way you can prepare for it is to be found in Jesus Christ by faith in him. So trust him now. That's the great lesson of this. Indeed, you can go on to the end of the chapter. Look at verse 29. You should fear the sword yourselves. For wrath will bring punishment by the sword, and then you will know that there is judgment. Yes, my friend, you will. There is a judgment coming. Be prepared for it. Be ready to meet with God. Pause, my soul, and ask the question, art thou ready to meet God? Art thou made a real Christian, washed in the Redeemer's blood? So sang William Gadsby, and so do I. But I want to end on this note of resurrection. Brother and sister, this is our triumph. This is our glory. This is our hope. This is our consolation. How Job would have loved this hymn that I'm now going to read to you by Samuel Medley. How he would have rejoiced. Oh, that my words were recorded. Well, they are recorded, Job. And thousands upon thousands of Christians, believers, will sing these words that you uttered. Let me close with this, the resurrection. This is what Samuel Medley wrote. I know that my Redeemer lives. What comfort this sweet sentence gives. He lives who once was dead, and reigns my ever-living head. He lives and loves me to the end. My hopes and joys on him depend. He ever lives. His praise I'll sing, my Saviour, prophet, priest, and king. He lives to silence all my fears, to wipe away my falling tears, to soothe and calm my troubled heart, all needed blessings to impart. He lives and grants me daily breath. Through him my soul shall conquer death. He's gone my mansion to prepare. He lives to bring me safely there. Oh, glory to his sacred name. He lives, my Jesus, still the same. Oh, the sweet joy this sentence gives. I know that my Redeemer lives. Yes, Jesus lives. And with Job, brother and sister, we can say, I know that my Redeemer lives, and I know that he will come again for me, and he will raise me from the ground, and I shall see him and be with him and like him for ever and ever. He's gone to prepare a place for me, and he will come again and receive me to himself. Remind yourself of it, brother and sister, and go in the joy of it. Live in the joy of it. Die in the joy of it. And one day we shall all be raised to see our Saviour and be like him and with him forever. Blessed be his name. Amen.